Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Dr. Will Tuttle. Thanks for being with us, Will.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's great to be on Animal Concerns of Texas. Fantastic.
Will, can you start out by telling our listeners how you got involved in animal and vegan issues?
I got involved with the vegan movement and animal liberation movement back in the 70s. I was a typical person, I would say, in our society, growing up eating lots of meat, dairy products, and eggs. Never really thought too much about food or animals. I always loved animals, you know, like I guess most people do, and we had a pet dog and so forth. But it was really, for me, I guess, two things. One is when I was a youngster, maybe 13, 14 years old, I went away to a summer camp in Vermont with this beautiful organic dairy, and I learned to kill chickens, and we would kill the dairy cows every year. Well, I mean, one every year. So I got exposed to that, and I didn't like it, but I thought you had to do it, you know, it's sort of like you need the protein, you know, that kind of thing. And then right after college, I was fortunate, I think, to go on this kind of a pilgrimage walk with my brother across the country, and we stopped for a while at the farm, which was the largest hippie commune in the world back in 1975, and we were there, and they were all
Tennessee,
vegetarian,
yeah,
in Summertown, Tennessee. And they were actually vegans, but no one knew the word vegan back in 1975. But, you know, they told us a little bit about the routine mistreatment of animals and about the hunger and starvation that's really caused by the inefficiency of animal agriculture. So that was it. I stopped eating meat, and I started being an activist almost immediately. I just wanted people to go vegetarian at that point. And then a few years later, I connected the dots like people do and went vegan in 1980. So actually, this is 2020, so 40 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, kind of working on this issue. And I got my PhD at Berkeley. I taught college courses, and I was really philosophy courses. So I was always promoting Peter Singer's book back then, is, you know, to try to get students to think about in a critical way about the consequences of animal abuse, and then wrote The World Peace Diet. I guess that was in 2005 it came out, and that really sort of catapulted me and Madeline, my wife. We both, you know, we've just been traveling really almost full time ever since, sharing the vegan message and trying to promote animal liberation, mainly because we both actually feel very passionately about the message and the fact that animal agriculture is the leading destroyer of all five dimensions of health. I talk about the environment, our society, our physical health, our psychological health, and our spiritual / ethical health.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I met you back in 2002 at an animal rights conference. You were writing the book at the time. And,
oh, that's right, Greg.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Let's talk for a moment about the spiritual aspects of veganism. Do you think, for me, I think they went hand in hand. I was reading a lot of Buddhism before I went vegan. Uh-huh. I don't know which came first. Do you think your spiritual journey resulted from your veganism?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this, for me, the spiritual dimension of life, basically, and veganism are absolutely interconnected completely, because I really think the word vegan is another expression for the word ahimsa, which, as for me as a Buddhist, the primary teaching. And I used to teach college courses in comparative religion. So I think really all world religions are oriented and founded upon ahimsa, which is a Sanskrit word that means non-harmfulness, that we can never evolve very far spiritually at all if we're going to cultivate a mindset of seeing others as instruments to be used for our own benefit, which is what animal agriculture is. It's dominating, exploiting, and oppressing other beings completely unnecessarily, really, at least for sure today anyway, and using them as objects, as commodities. And so that's one of the things I write about quite a bit, that we've created a society that really lost its way spiritually because we eat so much meat and dairy and eggs and we use animals. And so the spiritual dimension of compassion, of empathy, of respect and kindness for other beings, of ahimsa, nonviolence for animals, ecosystems, other human beings, is really buried under the routine, nonchalant kind of way that we just eat ice cream and fish sticks and just slaughter billions of animals, destroy ecosystems, and we're just unconscious. And, you know, spirituality is about being conscious and aware.
Yeah.
And animal agriculture is the opposite of that. So I think, yes, it's absolutely essential to bring the spiritual and the together with vegan living.
Well, and it also has a psychological impact, as you said, you know, just living in denial of the impacts that you're having on all of these animals and ecosystems by continuing to eat meat. I think it has some severe psychological implications on how we also treat other humans as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think that's a very important point, Liz. And basically, in the World Peace Diet, I talk a lot about that, how our routine abuse of animals injects into all of us, essentially, a mentality of domination, exploitation of others. And it's a small step from doing it to animals to doing to humans what we do to animals. And
uh-huh.
So I was the editor of a book that came out a few years ago called Circles of Compassion, Essays Connecting Issues of Justice. And the whole point of that was to show how racism, sexism, ableism, heterosexism, classism, you know, all these different ways that we human beings have figured out to dominate and exploit each other over, you know, various ways of categorizing each other, basically. And that it's based at its core on the underlying foundation of our society, which is animal agriculture, and the template of our society, which is I coined the word herderism, you know, herding animals, that just injects into all of us because we're eating in a ritualized manner the flesh and secretions of horribly abused animals every day that's given to us by our parents and teachers and friends and neighbors and relatives and doctors and ministers and, you know, everyone from every tradition is right behind this, this ritualized abuse of other beings, and the subtext of every meal is privilege and elitism, right? I mean, that's the basic message. We're eating not just foods that are toxic and violent, but we're eating attitudes that are also toxic and violent. And the underlying subtext is certain beings are inherently superior, other beings are inherently inferior, and it's just fine for the superior beings to dominate and exploit the inferior beings. And we don't talk about it explicitly. We usually just cover it up. We don't want to talk about the pig when we're eating bacon. We don't want to talk about the cow when we're having a burger and so forth, or cheese. But it's hidden, and we're eating it, and so we repress it. And that makes it even more powerful, I think, in many ways. It's just, it goes right into the cells of our body, and we just naturally learn to create these categories where it's totally okay to abuse other beings, even though we might love our dog and so forth, but we're able to just turn off our natural sensitivity, and our ethical behavior reflects that, I think, or our non-ethical behavior. And the injustice in our society seems to actually, in many ways, keep increasing in many ways because we're eating animal food. So I think veganism is, in many ways, a prerequisite for us to make progress on all the other social justice issues.
Well, and then I agree 100% with that, because I know that's how, when I was in college, that's how I used to justify eating meat, or like, these animals are raised for this purpose, you know, and it comes in the grocery store and it's all hermetically sealed in little styrofoam packets, and it's just like some breasts there, and then you're just not totally disconnected from the animal. And even though when I started to realize it was wrong, I really got a lot of pushback from friends and family, and all of them reinforcing the idea that these animals are raised for this purpose. And so, you know, what are they all going to do if we don't eat them?
Yeah,
that type of mentality.
They wouldn't have
to do with themselves.
They wouldn't have a life at all if we didn't raise them to be killed.
Yeah, it's fairly really interesting how deep seated that is, though, because people really start working on you the minute you start to question the motive behind their diet.
People do that. You're right, Liz. And I think I talk about this also a little bit, the idea of tribal living and tribalism, that we, in a sense, the food of the tribe is what binds the tribe together more than any other factor. It's the most powerful force in acculturation process. And so if we're sort of saying to the rest of the tribe, I'm not going to eat your food anymore, that's like the most profound rejection of our membership within the tribe. And so if you, Greg, or any of us go into a room and we say we're vegans, there's a certain level, I think, of animosity that's sort of triggered unconsciously in people. I think,
hair,
you're not from my tribe. You're eating different food. You know,
the hair raises on their back.
And they have to have a rationalization. I mean, we have to have rationalizations for what we're doing, And so the idea that these animals are just raised for this purpose sort of covers over the horrible abuse and the fact that it's unnecessary, that there really are no nutrients that we need to be healthy that we have to abuse all these animals in order to get. So the rationalization trumps everything else, and even if totally illogical. I always say that if everyone was actually logical, everybody would be vegan. You know, we wouldn't have, yeah. have to go do all this.
Well, they're trapped.
And promoting it. But people aren't logical. You know, people are really conditioned
yeah.
to be, in many ways, profoundly anti-rational and do behaviors that are destructive to themselves, to other beings, to ecosystems, really to every dimension of our life is really just being destroyed by animal agriculture. We can see that if we're at all objective and looking at what's happening. But we have these, like you say, these rationalizations that are in place. And they just, unfortunately, they in many ways, they really dumb us down, I think. And it's yeah. hard to penetrate the that kind of situation.
Well, it's hard for me to have compassion towards carnivores among mm-hmm. the human race. I know that I should be compassionate to all.
Well, yeah, you got to remember, though, Greg, you were one of them for many years yeah. as well,
no,
and still maybe.
Actually, I've been vegetarian longer than I was, more than half
right.
my life, so.
Yeah,
right.
But the point is that everybody is at a certain place, but
yeah.
the question is how to get them to reach the understanding that of the impacts of these activities on their own, like you said, spiritual, mental, physical health.
Well, I think films are doing it nowadays. Back in our day, books were the way we got converted. But films on the internet and social media in general, I think, has really been a revolution for veganism.
Yeah, I think also the all the vegan cooking classes that are and cooking, like you say, videos. People are learning so much through films and social media and
yeah.
videos. And then there's a lot more restaurants and more. I think veg fests are happening, helping a lot in groups. So there's a lot of different things. And I do think books are still helping in music and art and all different kinds of things. But for me, I wanted to respond also to that idea of compassion for people who are eating animal foods. And one of the things that I try to emphasize to everyone, really, especially to vegans, is that people are wounded. You know, we're wounded. I was forced to eat meat, dairy products, and eggs my entire life from the time I was a little kid. And it wasn't because I was an evil, bad person wanting to just wake up in the morning and cause a lot of suffering to a chicken. And so I was just often eat some chicken. I was just following orders, you know, and the orders that I received from the time I was a little infant from my mother and father and everybody were well-meaning. They wanted me to get plenty of protein and plenty of calcium, so eat lots of meat and eat lots of cheese. And that was, you know, so that kind of wounding, it kind of shuts down our natural sensitivity to what we're doing if we're doing that and everyone's doing it around us. So I've been working hard on myself to try to see people who are eating animal foods with kindness and compassion because they're wounded, and to be as much as I can someone who's about healing and awakening, helping people to wake up and to heal, because I think the underlying idea is that we're healers in the vegan movement. To heal the situation really requires love, not just for the non-human animals, but also for the human animals who are in many ways trapped in a system that they were born into that wounded them and shut down their natural capacities of intellectual clarity, of emotional sensitivity, of spiritual, also spiritual sensitivity, I think, and to try to just help awaken that in them. But the question, like you say, is how do you do that effectively?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the question. And I think one of the things is to try to be less judgmental of people who are eating animal foods and be, like you say, educational, you know, films, whatever we can to educate and give an example and to tell our own story. I emphasize
yeah.
that quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah.
I just tell my own story, I'm not shaming and criticizing someone else. I'm just saying, look, I discovered the only reason I was eating animal foods all those years that I was doing it was I was just following orders, and I'm not doing it anymore, and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
hears that, they go, well, that's subconsciously they're thinking, well, that's me too.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason anyone's eating animal foods is because they're just following orders. So I think if we kind of just plant seeds with love and respect and just say, gosh, it's really great. It's so much better for the environment, for my health, for the animals, for hungry
yeah.
people, for future generations, for ecosystems. It's just better for everybody, and doing it, and it's really delicious.
And I feel great.
We, you know, that helps, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's the approach that we all need to try to remember, is that if you shame someone if you say you should be doing this. That's not going to work. But telling your own story is the way to go.
Right, that's like the move. Some of these movies that have been so effective, I think, like the Game Changers, Cowspiracy. And these people, they just tell their story pretty much. This is what they learn, and people go, "Wow, that's really interesting."
Well, and it is. It does help you. See how their thought processes went along, too, as they were making the changes and how it really transformed their lives. And, you know, that's, I think a lot of people would like to transform their life so they can be healthier and have a better mental frame, you know, and with so much information bombarding them every day on all fronts, it gets harder and harder to focus in and see what can really make a difference in your life. And I think veganism is one of those things that can really help center you and help you feel at peace with who you are and what you do and how you live your life.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I think, you know, veganism is the primary, I would say, the probably the most powerful transformative behavior a person can have, because the core of our society, people don't realize it, but the fundamental defining core of our society is animal agriculture. The whole society is organized around imprisoning and breeding and killing billions of animals. Actually, every day, if you include marine animals, it's the biggest thing we're doing. There's no human activity on planet Earth that is bigger, that everyone's involved with, that's just, you know, impacting the atmosphere, the oceans, the rivers, the forests, the rainforests, you know, the aquifers. I mean, everything in the most powerful way, and negatively too, in our health, our cultural health. I mean, it's the organizing principle, and everything, every institution in our society is actually organized around this basic template of domination and exploitation of other beings for our own benefit. And actually, if you look carefully at it, really, it's demonic. I mean, the definition of demonic is, you know, to just harm others with no conscience. You know, it's just, it's really, people, you know, unfortunately, we're all brainwashed into some kind of an idea that ranchers and eating meat and dairy is what makes this country great, sort of basically wonderful, good, healthy, outdoorsy, kind of good old American thing to do. We have to realize that it is unmitigating violence and abuse and terror and pain and disease and domination, exploitation, and sexual abuse on every level. It's ugly. It's ugly and abusive. And if we were born as cows, pigs, chickens, or factory farm fishes, or any of these animals, we would know this. You know, we don't have to have it explained to us. But since we're born as humans, we don't see it. We're kind of the dominating species. But so that's why I think the transformation in a positive direction of our society and the transformation of each one of us individually, you know, on our physical health and psychological health, this is the key. There's no key. You can't go deeper to the root of the problem than to question animal agriculture. That's it. That's going to as far down and deeply as you can go. That's the very core of the whole thing. And so that's why I think it's so wonderful that you guys have this show and the people are actually listening and caring enough to be courageous, really, enough to look that deeply, because that's really the greatest gift I think we can give to the world and to ourselves and our loved ones, is to do that.
And Will, you offer some vegan training courses too, or not vegan, but I guess vegan-based training courses on how people can be more effective at getting the message out and making people more aware of the consequences of our diet. And I think these personalized training courses, I know Greg went to one in Vegan Academy and he really got a lot out of it. And do you have any experiences you could share from people that have undergone your trainings that, you know, that have shown, highlighted how effective they can be?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think after I wrote The World Peace Diet, and it kind of became a movement itself in a way, it's really, a lot of people just really liked it. And it's actually been translated now into about 17 languages and published. And it's all been done by volunteers who just wanted to have this language come out in Czechoslovakian or in Chinese or Malaysian, whatever it is. And so it's been really wonderful. Then we started up a training program to help people go deep. It's called the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training. We do it usually every year, once or twice a year, as a live training, but also just online. It's always available online at our website, worldpeacediet.com.
We've been talking with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of the bestseller, The World Peace Diet. We appreciate you being with us on the show today, Will, and we really look forward to your visit to El Paso at our Veg Society dinner.
That's February 15th, and we'll give a little plug for that at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Will, and we'll see you before long.
Thanks, Will.
Yes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you all for the efforts that you're making, and really appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks.